So here's the scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. I'm going to read the Message version because it is beautiful the way that it is put. Is what it says. It says, are you tired, worn out? This is Jesus talking. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Oh my gosh, an invitation from our Lord Jesus himself, and doesn't it sound wonderful? We're going to pray, and I've titled tonight's message, Breathe. So if you're taking notes, write down that title, Breathe. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for tonight. We just pray that you would rock up, that you would show us, God, who you are. And Lord, like you promised us in your word, as we come to you, that we would experience something that we're not used to, would have a weight lifted off us. God, that we would see, God, everything you've planned for us to see tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You know, I read this scripture and I sort of think maybe, you know, the way I picture it is sort of Jesus in that Frank Sinatra sort of vibe, like, come fly with me, let's fly away. And I was thinking about it and I'm like, Jesus is, he's with his disciples and he's sort of like, hey, boys, come walk with me, I'll teach you the rhythms of grace. And I'm like, mate, I want to be there when Jesus sings, right? But I tell you what, I dare say if he's God, he would have the voice of God. You know, I was going to say an angel, but that would just be sacrilegious. Can't have that at church. But you know what? I just think about Jesus sharing this with his people, and I'm just like, man, what a cool thing for Jesus to say. Not another person, but Jesus himself, our Lord Almighty. Do you know, many years ago, I got given as a gift some golf lessons with a guy called Gary Booby. True story. Gary Booby. Never thought I'd say that in church, but it's his name. I take that as sort of like a license, right? And Gary Booby, he's a good golf player. He was a pro at Barton Ridge. And last time I did something like this off a stage, it didn't go so well. But here's what I'll do. I'll give free lollies after the service to anyone who can catch this. Catch this with their teeth. It's a ping pong ball, people. Just relax. I forgot to tell you that beforehand. My bad. Oh, how about that? But I remember I went to Gary Booby and I said, Gary, you know, I'm here for a lesson. And Gary's like, awesome, man. Well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, basically, I just don't want to be embarrassed out on the golf, you know, course. I just want to figure out my stuff. And so he's like, all right, Tim, well, here's what I want you to do, right? I want you to just go out there and I want you to show me how you hit a golf ball. Show me how you swing. Show me your technique. And so, you know what happened, right? I just had this moment where I'm like, I'm going to show Gary. I'm going to show Gary how good I actually am, right? I need him to know. I need him to be impressed with me. And so I went over and I just remember all the things that I have heard over the years while playing golf with friends. All the things that people had told me, you know, the tips and the little things that I should do and the things that will make life better in my golf game and all this sort of stuff. And I remember just thinking them all at that moment. And I'm like, all right, no stress. All right, so you got to put your feet about shoulder width apart. You got to make sure you line up that ball right there in the middle. Okay, no stress. And then you got to keep your head down. Keep your head down. That's important, right? And you got to bend your knees a little bit, right? And then you just got to straighten up your shoulders. And then you got to like get out the club and you got to line up your feet because your feet tell you where it's going to go, right? So all of these things are going through my head. All of the techniques that I've learned, everything that's happening. And I'm like taking like a while, right? And Gary's sort of like, all right, any day now, mate. I'm like, just a second. I'm like lining myself up. I'm trying to make sure that everything's all good. And I'm just like, you know, I just take my first swing. Hey, not that. If that was with your teeth, Elise, you would have got free lollies. But tell you what. Anyway, I just remember taking all these thoughts, trying to make them into one thing. And Gary watches me take this swing. I think I hacked the thing. It wasn't particularly good. And he goes, all right, fantastic. That's interesting, right? Whenever your coach says that, you're sort of like, okay, yeah, that's not a good start. But he says, look, there's a heap of stuff we can work on. I'm like, all right, well, that's what we're paying you the big bucks for, so I'm glad I've come. And he goes, but there's two things that I need to bring up. He goes, the first one is your breathing. you've been holding your breath this entire time. And I'm like, really? I didn't really notice, hey. And he goes, the second one is you're trying to kill this golf ball. And I'm like, well, it deserves to die, right? And he is just like, you know what, Tim? If you can't breathe, you're dead. And if you're dead, you can't play golf. So first things first, you need to figure out how to breathe. And I'm like, that's a good point. Appreciate that very much, coach. You're the man. He goes, the second one, Tim, is he goes, if you want that golf ball to go an extra 20 meters, you don't hit that golf ball harder, you change your club. And I'm like, it's a fantastic idea. I love this guy already. He is so great. Gary, full of wisdom. I'm like, this guy is absolutely insightful. And, you know, he told me what we're going to do is we're actually going to take a few deep breaths right now. So I reckon all of us should do this, right? Because everyone just sit up in their seat. Everyone just says. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take a deep breath. We're going to hold it for a couple of seconds. Then we're going to let it out. And then we're going to do that three times. So you ready? You ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hold. And let it out. Fantastic. And again, 3, 2, 1. And hold. That was my wife laughing. And let it out. And one more time. Let's breathe in. And hold. Just hold that. You're laughing, you're not holding it. And just let it out. How do you feel, right? Woo, a little bit lightheaded. Right? Do you know when you breathe deeply, what happens is you actually like flood your brain with oxygen. And a thing is stimulated called a parasympathetic nervous system. How about that? And what it does is it helps you, it promotes a state of calmness. And I started to realize that this guy, you know, what he was trying to get me to do, he's like, bro, you need to relax up in here. You need to chill. I'm getting all like gangster, right? Yeah, I'm just feeling it. You need to just like, you need to just relax. You need to let it go. You need to just, there's no point working on your technique until you start breathing, until you start relaxing, until you start chilling out. You got to enjoy the game a little bit. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, fair enough, right? And here's the thing, right? You might be thinking, I know where this is going. I know what Tim's trying to say. He's going to be all like, you know what? Jesus is our Gary Booby. And Jesus is going to tell us how to live our life, right? But I'm not here to tell you that. Because that's not the point of my message. You see, Jesus isn't Gary. Jesus is the breath. And here's the thing, right? We sometimes think that if we can just get to Jesus, he is going to tell us what to do. He is going to point us to something. But I've got news for you tonight. Jesus is not going to point you to something. He is something. He is the one that has the answer for you. And like the breath, like that breathing in oxygen, like that taking on life itself, that is what Jesus does to a person. You see, Jesus, he's not just another guy. The Bible calls him the Word of God. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So when we look around and we see life and we think about what it means to be a believer and to trust in Jesus, it is easy and it is understandable that people may limit that down to a set of things that we have to do, a way we have to live, a set of principles that we should adhere to. It is easy to understand why people make that conclusion. But you see, Jesus isn't just some other guy. He's not just a great leader. He's not just somebody who has good wisdom. He's not just somebody who can tell you how to live your life. Jesus is life. In him, it goes on to say in John chapter 1, is life, and that life is the light of all people. You see, Jesus himself isn't something that is a means to an end. He is the beginning and the end. And what happens is when a person realizes and has a revelation of Jesus himself, they are filled with life. The Bible says that Jesus speaking, I believe it's in John chapter 3, it says that unless somebody is born again, unless somebody's born again in the spirit. You see, we get born once in the flesh. We get born once into this life. But Jesus says that eternal life is when you are born again into the spirit. You see, life itself is found in Jesus. But I've learned something about life, and that is it's reasonably complicated. Life has its complications. Life isn't simple. Life isn't straightforward. Life isn't always, you know, rosy. And just like a golf swing, life can sometimes be this concoction of a million different things happening at the same time. And I remember having this moment where I always thought that my feet would shoot my ball in a certain direction, until every time I swung with my feet pointing a certain direction, my ball would go another direction. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, something else is up. It's not as simple as fix this problem and everything will work out. Because when you fix one problem, you find there's another problem, or you solve one situation and it lights another. And all of a sudden you realize that life is complicated. There is a complexity to life. And you know what the truth is? I don't even understand your life, and I don't need to know that in your world right now, you are managing and experiencing and around a million different things that are affecting who you are, what you're doing, the decisions you're making, and the life you're living. And what we can be tempted to do is to start to try and manage our lives. We start to try and manage the various elements of our lives, and we start to think, well, if I can just get that thing sorted, if I can just work really hard to save up enough money for a deposit or get a house, that'll take care of the money. And once I've taken care of the money, then I'll be free to focus on family, or you know what? No, I need to focus on my family right now, or, you know, I need to be saving up for these things, or, you know what? I need to be right now studying. I need to do this, or I need to do that. We think if we can just get a girlfriend, then everything's going to change, or if I can just find that person I'm meant to marry, my life will be sweet, or if I can just start a family, whatever it is for you, that you may be wrestling with. There's so many things, and we start to think, if I can just manage all of these elements, it's going to work. But the problem is, no matter how hard you try, it just doesn't work. And just like Gary was talking to me, and I had it all going on in my head. I had everything that I was meant to do. I was thinking so hard. I was working so hard. I was extremely focused in that moment. I was trying everything to make this shot sweet, and I couldn't do it. And he said, you know what? Before you start working on any of the technique, before you start working on any of the mechanical function that surrounds hitting a golf ball, you need to learn to breathe. You need to relax a bit. You need to take a step back and get some oxygen in your body. And you know what? This is what Jesus is saying when he sings to his disciples. I'm just going with it, right? I reckon he did. I'm saying it, claiming it, right? When Jesus says this to his disciples, you know what he says? It starts with, are you tired? And you know what? I reckon if we ask people in this room right now, you know, in your life, you know, there are parts of your life where you're just like, man, I'm tired. I'm just tired. I'm just being honest, being real, getting legit, just saying it how it is. I'm actually like tired. It says you're worn out. You burnt out on religion. This is how Jesus is speaking. I'm like, man, that doesn't sound so much like what we would think he would say. But he starts by identifying that we try so hard and it doesn't seem to work. You see, what religion is? Religion is the mechanical function. Religion is those things that we are trying to manage. It is the practical side of what we do, trying to keep up with the person next to us, trying to do what we've been told we're meant to do, trying to read my Bible enough, trying to pray enough, trying to invest enough money, trying to save enough money, trying to spend enough money, trying to build the right relationships, trying to stop the wrong relationships, trying to do this and trying to do that, trying so many things, trying to get my mind sorted out, trying to get my heart clear from bitterness, trying to do all of these things. And religion, that mechanical function of our life where we are just trying to manage things, ultimately, what does it do? It leaves us tired, leaves us worn out, and it leaves us burnt out. And you know what Jesus says? When you're there, here's the answer. I don't want you just to manage yourself. I don't want you just to try and fix this. You know what I want you to do? Come with me. Come with me. That is Jesus' answer to your crazy life. Come with me. And you think, well, yeah, but what do I do? But we're missing the point. Jesus doesn't point you to something else. He is something else. And you might not believe it until you experience it. But when you experience it, you are a believer. And all of a sudden you start to believe and you start to be one of those people that are like, Jesus, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one. He will bring the breakthrough. And you're trying to explain it. You're trying to put words to it. And people are like, yeah, but what did you do? And I'm like, no, I didn't do anything. He was just there and it fixed it. And you're like, but how? Like, what changed? And you're like, well, nothing changed, but it was fixed. Jesus, his presence, and you become a believer. That's what it means to be a Christian, is to have access to Jesus, to God, to actually be able to talk and be in the presence of not somebody who points you to something, but somebody who is something. And it doesn't make sense to us because we always so often revert back to what I should do. But how am I going to fix it? And we treat God like any other leader. We treat God like any other person and we say, well, I'm going to go to God, then he's going to tell me what to do, and then I'm going to go fix it myself. But that is not the gospel message. The gospel message is you can't fix it by yourself. The gospel message is you don't have any hope by yourself. So Jesus came, God himself, John 1 again, verse 14 says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and his glory is seen in the one and only Son who comes from the Father, full of grace and truth. God comes, Emmanuel, God with us, and he invades our world. He lives as a man. He does what you and I cannot do, and he dies in our place. So that we would be dislocated from sin and relocated to the Father. Colossians 1 says, we have been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son, the one he loves, in whom there is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He died so that we could be relocated with God. But Jesus, being God, could not be conquered by death, and he rose again. So 3 days later, Jesus rises again, victorious over death. You got to remember, Jesus isn't just some other man. He is God. Jesus isn't just somebody who, you know, is under creation. He is supreme. He is above creation. He created all things, and he rose again, victorious over death, righteous, because he was without sin. Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin so that you and I might become the righteousness of God. Do you want to know the reward for righteousness? The presence of God. The reward of righteousness is the presence of God. You can walk blameless and free into the throne room of heaven and be in the presence of God Almighty. And when you stand before God, when you stand in the presence of Jesus, he is so bright that everything else pales into insignificance. It's like looking into the sun. When you look into the sun, even when you look away, you can still see nothing but the sun. He is that bright. The book of Revelation, so many of these amazing books and even the poetic books try to explain what Jesus is like. Try to explain what heaven is like with Christ in its center. What is it like? It is unexplainable because it is so glorious. And he is God, and in his presence, everything finds its place. And so you might be thinking, yeah, but what do I do? You know, my answer to you would be the presence of God. That's what we have to do. We have to go to God. We have to continually go back to God. And the difference between something that is dead and something that is alive is breath. You know, you can get a machine to hit a golf ball exactly the same every single time. Try and get a human to do it, it won't work. But we have something else. We have life. We have the breath of life. And when someone becomes a believer and they are born again, they have access to God. And this isn't like some sort of sneaky backroom slide in, you know, mates rates, like entrance sort of experience. No, this is, you are righteously allowed to stand in the presence of God because you have been forgiven of all sin. Past, present, future. There is no longer a sin that will keep you from God. When you fall, he lifts you up. His grace is sufficient in your weakness. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And so what you start to realize is, oh my gosh, the answer for me is to actually be in the presence of God. You might think you're not good enough to be in the presence of God. You might think you don't deserve to be in the presence of God. But the whole point of what Jesus did was so that sinners saved by grace could be reconnected with God, the life source. In him is life, and that life is the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I want to get the band back up. I don't want to preach for too long tonight because I really believe that tonight is actually about being in the presence of God. It's about maybe some people in here that it's been a long time and you've been doing your best to manage your life. You've been doing your best to stay on top of things. You've been doing best to raise your family. You've been doing your best to stay motivated for God. You've been doing your best to be in the Word. You've been doing your best to be a good employee. You've been doing your best to get on top of those thoughts in your mind. You've been doing your best to deal with the hurt and the bitterness that's in your heart. You've been doing your best, but guess what? in the midst of trying your hardest. You're getting tired, getting worn out, you're getting burnt out, and you just need a break. Let me remind you of the words of Jesus when he said, "Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest." That's a word for some people here. You know, you've been thinking that a holiday to the Bahamas or to Hawaii or to the South Coast is going to fix it. You've been thinking, if I can just get to that holiday, if I can just get away from everything that's going on, and then I'm going to have some rest. Guess what? Your rest isn't waiting in a location that has been separated from your reality. You know, rest is found in the midst of what is going on right now, because rest isn't based upon your location. Rest is based upon who you're with. Come with me and I will give you real rest. So if you've been looking for that holiday, hey, enjoy the holiday, look forward to the holiday, but realize, if you want that holiday to be God, if you want that holiday to give you true rest, you're going to be sorely disappointed when you come back after those 2 weeks and life is as it was, just as tiring, just as burdensome. But in the midst of everything, you know, I love it when Paul talks about everything that he's been through. He goes, I know what it is to have a lot. I know what it is to have a little. I know what it is to be, you know, beaten up by people. I know what it is to be robbed. I know what it is to have people that are, you know, outside hurting me. I know what it is to have people on the inside that I meant to trust hurt me. I know all of these things. He says, but I have learned the secret to being content. I've learned the secret. And the secret is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know what Paul knew? Paul knew that his answer wasn't in mechanical function, but his answer was in a person called Jesus. Paul knew that his answer was not in what he needed to do, but on what God has done for him. Scripture goes on to say, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You'll learn to live freely and lightly. Do you know, tonight, I don't know what's going on in your world. I don't know what's happening in your world. But one of the things, one of the lessons I've learned over the last year since we launched Avant-Garde Young Adults Conference is this. Is that no matter how hard you try to work, you can't handle it on your own. You can't work your way out of every problem. You can't manage your life to a point where everything unfolds as you want it to unfold. You cannot, through blood, sweat, and tears, solve the problems. But when you go back to Jesus, when you come back into His presence, somehow, without being able to properly explain it, you know and you realize what He's doing, and that thing that has been burdening you is lifted off. I won't place anything ill-fitting or heavy upon you, Jesus says. This is the promise for the Christian. And sometimes we find ourselves working so hard to do everything right, and Jesus is saying, breathe. Draw deeply from my grace. Breathe it in deeply. Get it into you. Be in my presence. Feel my love. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to fix anything. You just have to be. And let my grace be sufficient in your weakness. Here's what I want. I want everyone, just wherever you are, just to stand up. Stand in your seat as we're going to have a moment of worship. And I just want to sing this song out. And I do want to just spend some time just seeking God. I want to give people a moment to encounter Him. And what I want to do is, just as the lights just come down a little bit and we start to sing, I just want to open up the altar for people who, you love God. You seriously, you love God. You know, and you love, and you want God. But if you're honest with yourself, it's been a long time since you've just let it all go in His presence. It's been a long time since you let your guard down or stopped trying to manage everything or fix everything and just look to Him. Well, I want to have a moment for you where you would take a step of faith and say, God, I just need your presence. That's what I need. We're going to open up this altar, and if you feel like you need to have that moment, you feel like that's you that I'm speaking to, I would encourage you, come on, step out of your seat, slide down the front, and just put it all on the floor before Jesus and say, tonight, my focus is upon you. I welcome you into my heart. I welcome you into my life. So church, right now, wherever you're at, why don't we close our eyes? Let's begin.